And we're reporting this morning on federal regulations that are supposed to keep mine workers safe. A joint investigation by NPR and Mine Safety and Health News has documented how those regulations fail. They are supposed to work this way. Coal and mineral mines are fined for safety violations, and the fines discourage unsafe practices because violations are expensive. But our investigation shows federal regulators are unable or unwilling to collect when mine owners refuse to pay. And as NPR's Howard Berkus reports, that puts miners at risk.
Jack Blankenship was a mile underground in Logan County, West Virginia, 2 hours into his shift and alone on an errand when he was suddenly pinned face down to the floor of the Aracoma coal mine.
I couldn't hardly breathe. I'd black out and come to. I'd have dirt in my mouth where I'd be shoved down in dirt.
This was 4 years ago, but Blankenship clearly remembers the pain growing in his shoulders, back, and neck, and his legs going numb.
Then I was able to get my left arm freed, but I still couldn't maneuver myself out from underneath the rock. I didn't know how big it was, or for all I know, it could have been half the mountain down on me.
Blankenship later learned it was a 300-pound mattress-sized slab of rock that fell from the mine roof. In the 2 years before, according to federal mine safety data, the Aracoma mine had more than 120 violations for not checking for loose rock or taking rockfall precautions. The mine and owner Massey Energy had a history of deadly accidents, and as Blankenship lay trapped, pressing a panic button on his radio, the mine owed more than $200,000 in delinquent safety fines.
You know, I was waiting to die. I had already had my little talk with God. Only thing I kept repeating was, you know, wife and kids, you know, what would happen to them. But other than that, I was ready for whatever was going to happen.
After 2 hours, several men lifted the slab and used fencing as a gurney to carry Blankenship to the surface. He's among thousands of workers injured at mines that failed to pay $70 million in safety fines. That's according to NPR's comparison of federal delinquent fines records and 20 years of Labor Department data on mine injuries and violations. Delinquent mines continue to operate and continue to be cited for safety violations, which troubles Bruce Simpson, who collected fines in the 1990s for the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration.
It says you don't have to worry about that federal agency. It says you don't have to worry about the Mine Safety and Health Act. It devalues the laws that regulate them.
It puts miners at greater risk of injury. Delinquent mines injure miners at a rate 50% higher than the rest, according to our analysis of federal mine injury data. So why are they allowed to continue to operate? Joe Main is the Assistant Secretary of Labor for Mine Safety and Health, and he says there's far more to enforcement than fines.
A penalty is just part of the provisions of the Mine Act. The most critical thing is out at the mine level, dealing with cleaning up these mines and making sure the mines are safe.
That starts with regular inspections that discover violations and lead to fines. Main notes that violations must be fixed, but mines change constantly. Threats reappear. Persistent vigilance is required to keep miners safe, says Michael Wolford, a retired federal mine inspector.
If they don't pay their fine, well, you've only done half your job. You went there and you've caught them doing something, but all they do is fix it and not pay a fine. It's not much punishment.
You mean they could do it again?
Well, they will do it again. If it's not going to cost you anything, what's incentive for you to do very much? It's having a law and no punishment connected to it.
Mine Safety Chief Joe Main says most mining companies pay their fines, but those that don't can do a lot of damage, according to our comparison of delinquency and injury data. We counted nearly 4,000 injuries while mines were delinquent. But get this, the Mine Safety Agency can't shut them down. Even when they don't pay their fines, more workers are injured and more violations occur.
What we did is implemented the tools that Congress gave us, not what folks would like for us to do, but what Congress gave us. And we have maximized those provisions of law, I think, more than anybody in modern time or maybe in the history of the Mine Act has.
Maine implemented tougher enforcement after the 2010 mine disaster in West Virginia that killed 29 workers. He staged hundreds of extra inspections, all unannounced and involving waves of inspectors. He focused extra scrutiny and harsher sanctions on persistently dangerous mines. Some closed as a result. But here's the thing. Federal records show that while delinquent mines were open, they committed 130,000 violations. 40,000 were so severe, they put miners at risk of serious injury or illness, according to the citations written by federal inspectors. Joe Main.
Are those things of concern to us? Yes. If you have evidence that supports legal opportunities that we have of things that we may not know, please share them with us.
Actually, the agency can do more with the legal tools it has. It can take more delinquent companies to federal court and then enforce court orders and settlements. NPR identified 34 federal court cases and settlement agreements in the last 8 years involving delinquent mine owners. These companies owed more than $16 million. They've paid less than $800,000, according to information provided by the Mine Safety Agency. Why? Davis Sled is a former federal prosecutor who specialized in coal mine cases in Kentucky.
Coal mine regulation is not a high-profile area of law enforcement. It's not like guns or drugs. It's not the drama of a jury trial in a federal court.
Enforcing court orders and settlements is a low priority, Sled says, and it's a challenge. He says he and other federal prosecutors didn't have the expertise to identify and seize assets. That could be done by investigators and lawyers at the Labor Department if they devoted the time and resources. But it's a daunting task, says Ed Clare, who was the Mine Safety Agency's top lawyer for 23 years.
Corporate laws in this country allow corporations to insulate individuals from liability, and corporations can go in and out of business. Mines go in and out of production, and equipment is leased rather than owned. Mineral rights are leased rather than owned. There is no way to ultimately hold them economically accountable for their violations.
So mining companies can ignore court orders and demands for payment. They can continue to violate the same safety laws that caused them to be fined in the first place. It's an enforcement mechanism with no enforcement, says Tim Bailey, an attorney representing disabled miner Jack Blankenship.
You've got to have an economic disincentive to be unsafe. And right now, even though the fines can be hung on the wall and we can all tally them, if you don't have to pay them, it's just toothless. It's a toothless tiger. You're not scared of it anymore.
This summer, in a white double-wide near the Aracoma mine, Jack Blankenship leaned against a cane. A massive fan fought off the heat and humidity. At 41, he has pinched nerves in his neck and back, a fractured spine, and a reconstructed shoulder. He can't work, he can't sit long enough to watch his son play basketball, he can't hunt with his daughter in the woods. He has few expectations, he says, for the rest of his life.
Church and forest lawn. That's a cemetery where I've got lots. Just matter of seeing the kids graduate. My daughter, she's graduated. My son, he's got about 5 years. So I'll take it one day at a time till then.
And some nights he wakes up struggling to breathe as if still trapped face down in the darkness and the dirt. Howard Berkus, NPR News.